Well, now it comes to my favorite part of the Michigan Agricultural Tour, where we get to talk a little bit about wine. And no, we won't be sampling any, but we will be talking about the business, but also talking about what you can do when you come up here, other than doing a little bit of tippling, is just to also understand what goes into growing these grapes and then the production of them. We're joined by Jay Briggs, who's the winemaker for 45 North Vineyard and Winery here in the Grand Traverse region. Tell me where your farm is.
Our farm is about 20 minutes north of Traverse City between little towns of Sutton's Bay and Lake Leelanau on the Leelanau Peninsula.
I know them both well, and that's really, really beautiful country. How many acres do you have?
Of grapes, we have about 30 acres of grapes. The whole estate is 105 acres, so just a small little vineyard.
Has what you've been able to produce changed? We know that this used to be kind of considered to be a sweeter white grape region, but now I see a lot of varietals being grown that you might normally see more of the, you know, California reds. Tell me about the change in what you guys can grow, because the weather patterns have changed to some extent.
Right. Yeah. So we definitely were known for sweet whites. That's usually what happens with little wine regions. Now we are able to grow varietals like Cabernet Franc, which is the father of Cabernet Sauvignon. We grow a lot of Pinot Noir here, a lot of Merlot.
Well, in a lot of the blends, it starts with the Verdot or the Cab Franc as a base, right?
Yes, that's correct. So, yeah, I think, you know, the shift in the climate's helping that quite a bit, but also the fact that we're learning where to grow these grapes. You just can't throw everything anywhere. There are specific sites that we need to plant those varieties on for them to grow and produce the optimum fruit.
So where do you see this industry maturing to? And as this region, again, whether you believe in climate change or not, weather patterns are changing, and this is getting to be a warmer region and maybe not as wet. How will that influence the wine industry in Michigan?
I think it will impact the quality more than shifting varieties. I think being able to ripen things like Cabernet Franc completely,
right.
Being able to do some really cool things with Rieslings, getting super late harvest. You know, it's ripening different parts of the grape. So I think, you know, the future of this region is just in how we deal with the varieties that we have. New varieties are coming in, but I don't think as far as a shift we're going to see Cab Sauv up here. I mean, some people are probably doing some Cab Sauv up here, but, you know, large scale, we won't be seeing Cab Sauvs.
See, the competitive side of me wants to take on Napa Valley and just put them under my boot heel. Because I think to see whether or not we could do something like
absolutely,
that, right?
Absolutely.
And compete on an even playing field.
Absolutely. Tell them to bring a Riesling to the table and we'll see.
Okay, there you go. So what you're saying is we got to choose our field. We want our home field advantage.
100%.
I see that. So how soon is the harvest, and how can folks and travelers to the Grand Traverse region take part in that, and, you know, some of the traditions that surround that?
Well, harvest usually starts for some of the wineries doing sparkling wine in September, so middle to late September. October is the month. Everybody's harvesting in October. Pretty much wineries that have, or tasting rooms that have on-site wineries, most of the time you're able to see a little bit of the production side. You may not be able to get up close and personal. At 45 North, we allow people just to come, you know, right up to where we're working and, you know, within reason.
Yeah, but you want to be able to tell your story.
Yeah. And it's a nice way for them to see where things are coming from, you know, from the grape to the glass. So, A lot of places you'll be able to see some sort of production being done, which is really a cool aspect, kind of seeing, you know, where the sausage is made, so to speak.
When you're operating a farm like this, obviously you want the experience to be as entertaining as possible for everybody, whether they drink wine or not. What are some of the other things that kids can do there? I know some folks have added maybe a small petting zoo or things like that. What are some of the other things that, if you were to visit the wine region of Grand Traverse, that you could experience?
Well, I think a lot of places are diversifying and putting in family-friendly aspects in the wineries, in the tasting rooms, sandboxes, We have bocce courts at 45 North. I know a few other places have a little farm. Black Star, I know, has a little has had a farm right on site for a number of years.
They've also got, I think, an ice cream parlor and a great sandwich shop up there. If I remember correctly,
right. And as far as, you know, everybody's trying to make it an experience. So where it used to be almost a cattle call, you come in, you stand in line, you get your wine, you get out. Most of us want people to stay a little while now. So we're adding more things. We're adding more seats. We're adding more more outdoors things to do, trails. A lot of the wineries now are putting trails around the properties.
One of the things I've noticed too is that the wineries used to put all of their tasting rooms at the bottom of the hill, which is nice, but that's not where the best view is, and that some of them now are, you know, actually moving them up almost into the vineyard region, so that you kind of have a vista and can, you know, kind of look out upon the vineyard and feel like you're part of it.
And that's part of the experience, right? You know, you have that glass of wine, you have that taste of wine, and you're in the vineyard, you're in that setting. It's going to taste better than it will be if you're at somebody's kitchen table. It's just the whole, everything around you goes into how much you enjoy that wine.
So when you're watching your grapes very closely, I'm sure you, I know there's a concern about, you know, like any other growing thing, insects, bacteria, viruses, things like that. What keeps you up at night in terms of the weather, or in terms of that you really want to see, that say, you know, we got it here, but this could be a good harvest, but this is what's going to make it great?
This time of year, hail. That's what keeps me up at night. We don't, like, as soon as we see weather systems coming, we're just praying for no hail.
Nothing that'll bruise the fruit
or rip the fruit. We're looking good right now.
We had a pretty big system come through the other night. I was watching it on radar.
That was much needed rain. I'm not sure that much in that short amount of time was needed, but
yeah.
The nice thing about that was that, you know, majority of the soil up here, you know, we're growing grapes on a sand dune. So
right.
We're usually pretty okay with that much with that much rain. It kind of filters through pretty quickly.
But other than hail, the sunshine versus rain. Has most of the fruit been set by now that you know that what you're going to get?
Yeah, for the most part. And now we're just looking at that second phase of ripening and veraison. That's the term we use for the color change in the grapes. Veraison. Mm-hmm. Is starting, and that's the most exciting time now to see the fruit starting to change color, accumulate sugar. So sunshine. Let's keep, you know, if we keep the days longer, that would be.
And if we come to your farm, what kind of grapes are we going to see?
Riesling, Chard.
Mostly Riesling?
Mostly Riesling in the front yard. Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Cabernet Franc, Merlot.
In the front yard. Like your yard isn't 30 acres, right?
No, but the estate front yard is 30 acres.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to meet you, Jay. I hope it's a great growing season, a better harvest, and when you bottle it, I hope it gets a lot of blue ribbons.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Jay Briggs from 45. That's right, 45 North Winery. Yeah, 45 North Vineyard and Winery. It's the latitude, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I figured. 444 here on News Talk 760 WJR. By now you've heard about the spill in the Huron River, but wait till you hear about what was going on behind the scenes, as there were warnings about this that went unheeded. It's an amazing story. Lloyd Jackson with us next.